It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Now, will UK inheritance tax be simplified? Let's hope. What are your views on UK inheritance tax, Bill, and would you call it particularly complex?
I do think it's complex. At first sight, it appears fairly straightforward. But in terms of the manner in which you might wish to plan to avoid succession tax, whilst I've said before, Howard, that the financial services industry, we consider inheritance tax to be a voluntary tax because there are so many planning techniques available for you to mitigate or avoid it. If you don't do that, you're effectively volunteering to pay it. The truth is that most people do struggle to navigate the UK's inheritance tax regime. And if you do, then you're not alone. Most of the people who come to us with wealth are concerned to preserve it. Now, whether you're setting up your estate planning now or whether you're actually sorting out the estate of a deceased family member, the system of UK inheritance tax is especially hard to follow. There are huge taxing statute guidelines, 5 or 6 inches thick books that you've got to get through to understand it. This isn't a do-it-yourself layman's area of financial planning. And if you don't get your planning right, then that could mean that your family are going to be faced with very unexpected high inheritance tax bills unnecessarily.
Well, the UK Chancellor has asked for this system to be reviewed. Why is this and how would it work, Bill?
Well, Philip Hammond, the UK Chancellor, has acknowledged that the rules for inheritance tax are, in his words, particularly complex. Now, when a Chancellor calls a particular taxing regime particularly complex, he's usually underscoring it a bit, and the truth is it's very complex indeed. Now, he has asked for a review. Now, don't think for a moment a review means that there will necessarily be lower tax bills. The best I'm hoping for is that the system will be simplified. I simply don't think it's going to bring about lower revenue generation. It's worth remembering that United Kingdom inheritance tax sticks to British people when they move overseas like glue. It's very difficult to unshackle yourself from UK inheritance tax because it's based upon where HMRC consider you to be domiciled. And domicile isn't described in the statutes. It's judged on a case-by-case basis. And even the most tenuous of associations can determine you as being a UK domicile, even if you haven't been back to the UK for 15, 20, 25. I've had clients who've been out of the UK for 32 years, have only been back once or twice in that time, and are still deemed to be UK domiciles, on which UK inheritance tax will be charged on their worldwide assets at the point they die. Now, it's as being based on domicile rather than residence is a complex issue anyway. Now, it's possible for a lot of longer term expatriates to try and adopt what's known as a domicile of choice, to change your domicile from that of the UK to somewhere other than the UK, generally speaking, the place in which you've chosen to live. And if you speak to the Blevins Franks team of people who are skilled and expert in judging these matters, indeed we even run a thing called a domicile determination questionnaire which can give guidance as to where you're domiciled. Now, whilst that takes time and it's a little complex, the specialist advice we can give with some careful planning can mean that you might shed your UK domicile and as a consequence any assets which you own outside of the UK are no longer liable to UK inheritance tax and only those things you leave in the UK remain liable. It's important for British expatriates to follow the changes to the UK's regime of inheritance tax and understand how it interacts with the inheritance tax laws of the country in which you're now living. Yeah. Cross-border estate planning is at best challenging, and it's particularly challenging if you've got assets in different countries or you've got a complex family situation where you might have been divorced and remarried or living with someone who you aren't married to and you haven't established a common law relationship where you've got children from both marriages. Those complexities make this a multiplier of complexity.
Yeah. Let's remind ourselves, Bill, then, of some of the rules. What are the rates and the allowances for inheritance tax?
Well, without wishing to go, this that again would be a subject in its own right, to be perfectly honest, but let's stick to the basics. Inheritance tax is payable at 40% on an individual's total worldwide estate, assuming they're a UK domicile, in excess of the current threshold of £325,000 per person, and that can be joined together if you are in a married relationship or an approved relationship for this purpose, so that you both get that allowance and therefore £650,000 for a couple. The nil rated band hasn't increased since April 2009, which is preposterous when you consider the asset valuations that have increased, especially in terms of property. There are other allowances. You can make annual gifts each year within a limited amount. You can make gifts out of your income. And if that doesn't deplete your general standard of living, they can be exempted from the tax. You can also make gifts during your lifetime. And provided you make those gifts more than 7 years before your death, the value of that gift will fall out of your estate entirely after 7 years. But actually, the value decreases from the end of year three onwards in a scale going downwards to zero at the end of 7 years. So there's a lot of complexity in the allowances and the reliefs. What we try to do when we're dealing with a client who's looking to plan for inheritance tax is to get the best out of every one of those. Okay, I mean, just to be clear on this, last year, I mean, these complicated rules about giving property to loved ones. Lots of parents think, well, I'll give the asset of my home away, and they've left hundreds of families with unexpected inheritance tax bills of hundreds of thousands of pounds. I read recently that HMRC in the UK had requested an additional payment of inheritance tax from over 400 estates last year, and obtaining a total of 111 million in the process, an average of £277,000 per case. And that was because those cases included people who'd given property to their adult children with a view to relieving themselves of those assets at death, but who continue to live in the property. And that is known as a gift with a reservation of benefit. And if you have made a gift, but you've reserved a benefit for yourself for that gift, then that is still counted as part of your estate for inheritance tax purposes when you die and taxed at 40%. Such transfers are not exempt, as many people wrongly believe.
No. For our listeners in Spain, then, Bill, this new family home allowance, which started last year, was first a welcome move, wasn't it? But it's got a bit more complex and there's been some problems.
I despair. To introduce legislation like this in April 2017 and then to have the Chancellor not long afterwards tell you that he wants to try to review these because he finds inheritance particularly complex is, that's what I think of politicians. But look, a new residential nil rate band came into effect in April last year. And that means that estates above the basic inheritance tax threshold could be entitled to an additional threshold before any tax becomes payable. Now, that additional threshold is due to start, has started at 100,000 for the 2017-2018 UK tax year, and it's going to go up by 25,000 each year until it gets to 175,000 in 2021. Now, after that, it's been proposed it will rise in line with inflation, but we'll see if they keep that promise. They haven't kept those promises in the past. It only applies to qualifying residential property, which is left to direct descendants. So, you know, if you're going to give your property away to your direct descendants and they're probably already living somewhere, then you can get this additional relief. But the rules for getting it are quite complicated and frankly beyond the scope of this brief discussion. If you've got an estate in total worth over 2 million, then you get a smaller allowance and then a descending scale of allowance until it goes down to nothing at all, depending on the total value of your estate. Now, it's, you know, it's welcome when you talk about a higher threshold, but this was a bit smoke and mirrors, in my view. The new family home allowance has simply added more complication. And it's also been criticised for discriminating against those who don't have children or property. It's been introduced, essentially, because the government acknowledged that the value of real estate in the UK has increased exponentially over the last period since 2009. And as a consequence, people who shouldn't really be paying this tax because the asset value of their house has gone up beyond their control and who don't have the cash to pay the tax are left with a property that's gone up in value, increased their tax burden, in a sense, unfairly. Now, a lot of people, as I say, like to give away gifts during their lifetime. often when their children need it most, rather than waiting until they actually die. And the rule for other lifetime gifts, apart from property, can be even more complex. As I say, there's an annual exemption of 3,000. Believe it or not, that has been at 3,000 since 1981. You could give away 3,000 a year in 1981, and it's still 3,000 a year in 2018. It is frankly outrageous. If that had been increased in line with UK inflation, then the annual allowance would be 10,000. And of course, that would make it worthwhile making these transfers across to the family without any tax. But Philip Hammond has written to the Treasury Office of Tax. There is an office known as the Treasury's Office of Tax Simplification. I don't know whether it's more than one person working there. But he's asked them to investigate the options for reforming inheritance tax. So we hold our breath and we wait to see what comes of that.
Bated breath. Well, Bill, what about British expatriates living here in Spain? Do they still need to be concerned about UK inheritance tax?
I won't take a long time answering that one. The answer is, of course you do. If you are a British national, it's highly likely that without taking some advice and action, you are still retaining what's known as your UK domicile, England, Wales domicile, or Scottish domicile, or Northern Ireland domicile. They're all slightly different. But if you retain your domicile of the place you came from, then you're still liable to UK inheritance tax on your worldwide assets. And that has to be tied in with the double tax treaty of the country that you're now living in. Some countries it's beneficial, in some countries it's distinctly disadvantageous. I think what you've got to remember is that you've moved to a foreign country with a whole set of different rules, and you better sit down and take some different advice to that you got before you emigrated from the UK to make sure that you're in line with the laws of the country you're now living in.
Yeah. Well, if the review happens, I suppose, as you've already mentioned, there won't be lower inheritance bills as a result from that. So what advice do you have for listeners on how to lower both UK inheritance tax and Spanish succession tax?
Yeah, I mean, to get back to that, you're quite right. I mean, the surge in the amount of inheritance tax paid shows that more than 5.3 billion sterling was taken from people's estates last year. And they're suggesting the Office for Budget Responsibility, who are generally speaking an accurate assessment of what's to come, they're suggesting that 5.3 billion is likely to go up to 6.5 billion of revenue from inheritance tax in 2018. And if I tell you, I think that 80% of that tax would be liable to savings if individuals planned properly. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be a reduction. The UK is trying to scramble every penny it can from the tax revenues, and I don't think it's going to be any reduction in the receipt of revenues. It's doubled the receipt of inheritance tax payments over the last 7 years. And if you are, as you asked, Howard, trying to lower both your UK inheritance tax and your Spanish succession tax, you've got to really sit down with expertise that's qualified and regulated in the conduct of investment and tax planning, and where they have the skills of both jurisdictions to make sure that they integrate one to the other so that they work in harmony together and they are cohesive as a strategy. We have international tax practitioners based in London. They give advice directly to our partners and senior partners and other advisors working around Spain and France, Portugal, Cyprus, Malta. And their advice is contained, if you like, in a cohesive way between what will apply if you live in Spain and what the consequences may be, not only if you are a UK national with domicile of the UK, but what would happen if you were to return to the UK? How is your relationship with the UK? What can we do to help you get out of one of those tax nets? Because once again, this is an avoidable tax in whole or in part, but you've got to sit down and take advice and action to get those savings for your beneficiaries, your heirs, your kids, your widow, your widower. But it's worth taking the advice, because without taking the advice, without taking action, you might find your beneficiaries are facing a much more substantial tax liability than would otherwise be the case, and is necessary.
Yeah. Okay, Bill, thank you very much. The website, please.
Yeah, if you go to blevinsfranks.com, you'll find the list of local offices. They would be very pleased to hear from you. They've got lots of information on the interaction between the inheritance tax regime you're now living under and the one that you left behind, and I'm sure they would be delighted to give you some advice.
Talk next week at the same time, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a good week.